Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church this first Sunday in Lent. A new season, lots going on during it. We especially welcome those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time or for the first time in a while. We're so glad you're here. We invite all of you at some point this morning to find the connection card in your bulletin and fill that out. Take a look at the back and see what invitations there are there for you, and then you can drop those cards in the offering plate at that point in the service. A few things I want to let you know about. There are several things you can read about in your bulletin inserts. Because this is a new season, we are starting a brand new seasonal study for adults on Reflections for Lent, a clearing season. It's going to be a great study led by a few facilitators over the next few weeks. Take some time this morning to check that out in your bulletin, and then we hope you'll stick around and see what that's all about. It's going to be great. Also, we have a variety of resources available for individual and family use for all ages during Lent to help you approach this season in the way that would be most helpful for your spirit. I really would like to highlight one in particular. If you know me at all, you know I like to color, and we have another coloring resource. If you don't like to color, you don't have to color, but you can still pray. This is an embodied Lent, a Lenten devotional just for this year, for 2018, brand new. It's got lots of great prayers and devotional thoughts and scripture readings in it. If you don't like to color, you can just take one of these on its own, and they're free. And if they run out, we will make more. We have the license to do that. If you do like to color, you can also pick up a Lenten coloring calendar that goes along with the Lenten devotional book. So you can take this home with you, and each day it will tell you what piece of it to color and how it fits in with the devotional. If you have children at home, this is something you can do with your kids. If you are a child at heart, you can do it on your own. You can make it messy, you can make it neat, beautiful, whatever you would like. It's there for you. There are actually some other great resources that go along with this. If you really, really like to get artistic and would like to get kind of wild with that, see me, because there are some other options too. One last thing I would like to remind you of is that our church photo directory makeup pictures are happening this Friday and Saturday. If you were to get your picture taken last week during the snowstorm and that didn't happen because of the storm, then we hope you have scheduled a makeup appointment. And if you have not, I think that can still happen. And even if you were not going to get your picture taken last week but have now had a kind of conversion and would like to have that happen, we can make that happen too. Now it is time to worship, and I invite you to join with me in our responsive call to worship. After he was baptized, Jesus went alone to the wilderness where he was tested.
40 days in the desert, he fasted.
Let us follow him into the wilderness to face our fears, our weakness, our temptations.
Thank you. Please rise if you're able. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we have come to you today, and you are here. We ask you for answers for our questions, salve for our wounds, and fellowship for our hearts. We ask this so that we may know you more fully, that you may bind us together in love and community, and that we may be the church to each other. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. My soul.
Holy God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame.
Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame.
Make me to know your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you await all day long.
Now we arrive in this hour at a moment of exceptional happiness. As we welcome and offer our dedication, support, and love to the newest member of this extended church family, we welcome her now with her parents. Here are John and Shannon Floyd and their daughter, Eleanor. Let's offer our prayer of thanksgiving. Merciful God, giver of all life, thank you for the precious gift of this child. Thank you for the blessing that she has already been to her mother and father, and for the joy you have given them in being her parents. As high as their joy may be in her life, we know that your joy in her soars higher still. As much as she belongs to Shannon and John, she belongs even more fully to you You have joyfully given this child, dear God. May her parents and family always take delight in her and give her every gift of grace and love that she may one day know the fullness of you who are the best gift and giver. Amen.
God has given you this child. What is her name?
Eleanor G.
In presenting your child to God, do you promise, in dependence upon God's grace, and with the help of God's people, to teach the gifts and the claims of faith in Jesus Christ, and by prayer, word, and example, raise her in the nurture, discipline, and love of God?
We do.
Brothers and sisters in the household of faith, this family is your family. Will you now offer your words of affirmation, celebration, thanksgiving, and prayer? With God's help, we will seek to follow Christ ourselves, that these parents may be strengthened in faith, and that this child, surrounded by love, may be nurtured in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. God of all grace, we pray for Shannon and John in the demanding and joyous enterprise of parenting. Give them patience and wisdom. Keep them close to you that their own faith might be perceived by Eleanor, and give nurture to her and lead her to a faith of her own. Bless Eleanor, keep her safe and healthy, make her strong and wise, and most of all, full of your love, so that she may fulfill the great promise of her life. We thank you for her brothers, Jack and Cal, and pray that they may continue always to take delight in her and be good models and examples and give great help in all she needs from them. Keep us all faithful to your little ones. Help us to spend our years in prayer and earnest labor to bequeath to them a world at peace, a world with more and more justice, a church on mission, and a future that is free and faithful. May we touch their lives tenderly and be ready always to listen and to love as in Jesus Christ you have loved all of us as your children. Amen.
Amen.
Eleanor, here they are. Your big family. And if I may say so, having looked at everyone, I think you're the prettiest one in the room. We have been waiting for you, in a sense, for a very long time. Your family, for many, many, many years, part of it, was part of the life of this church. Your grandparents led here and sang here in this very room. Your father grew up from a child in this room. Your mother came here as a college student, joined the ministries we had here, and has made a huge difference. And now you will make a difference. And we will listen to you. And we will tell our stories from you, and you will learn from us, and we will learn from you. You are God's new gift to us, a sign of hope, a presence of new life that we all desire and celebrate. Dear friends, when Jesus was with us in the flesh, he took little children into his arms and blessed them. Now we are his body in the world, and it is our holy privilege to take them into our arms and give them every blessing. God bless you, child.
From the book of Romans. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart, and so is justified. And one confesses with the mouth, and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Now, as we join our hearts together in prayer, we begin our prayers with the unison confession printed in your bulletin. Please join with me in prayer. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving God, here we are again, days after another mass shooting, praying the same prayers, asking the same questions, feeling the same anger, drowning in the same despair. We have offered our confessions just now, understanding only in part how trapped we are in a sin so much bigger than ourselves. The idolatry of guns and violence, it affects us and infects us all. The foundation of white supremacy on which our nation was built, it affects us and infects us all. The lies that we have believed about what safety really is, about where security really comes from, about where to find power and peace, we confess, O Lord, we too have failed to put our trust in you alone. And even when we have not bought into our culture's messages about power and violence, we too have often succumbed to the sad and easy paths of apathy or ignorance or despair. On this first Sunday in Lent, we confess. On this first Sunday in Lent, we cry out. On this first Sunday in Lent, wake us up. Give us the courage and the tenacity and the faith to let the children and the teenagers who are crying out even now to lead us towards your ways of peace and love. On this first Sunday in Lent, we lift our heartbroken cries to you, praying for the teenagers and adults whose lives were senselessly stolen from them this week. We pray for their parents and families and for all who loved them as we lift their names to you now. Receive them into the arms of your mercy, O Lord. Grant them peace, and let their memories catalyze a movement that bends towards your justice and love. We pray also for all who were traumatized at Parkland High School on Wednesday, and for all victims of violence for whom the news of such acts is re-traumatizing. We pray for first responders. We pray for politicians and for public leaders that they might be more persuaded by what is right than by what is profitable. And we pray for your church, ourselves, that we would be leaders in a time of cowardice and complicity. We also offer you our other prayers, including for all those in our own community, family, and church who are hurting or struggling in any way. We pray for
John Reed, for Stacy, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Dottie Kassler, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Will Healy.
For Jim Rushton, Jim Terrace, Sandy Nichols, the Prosser family, Nina, Barb, Bob and Barb, Valerie Nebbia, Sunday, David, the families of Moza and Elias, and for Kim and Jason Weaver. And we give you also our quietest, more private, most tender prayers in these moments of silence. Take our hearts, O Lord. Take and heal them and cleanse them and seal them with your love. Lift our spirits by your Spirit. Elevate our thinking with the mind of Christ. And help us to recognize the incredible power you have entrusted to us. Help us accept that power and live out of that power, that everything we say and do would shake the powers of this earth with the power of your love. We pray these things with boldness and hope in the name of Jesus, who taught us how to live and how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now, if you're able, will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Just after the account of the baptism of Jesus, we read these words. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. My pleasure now to invite all the children forward.
You heard us talking about the season of Lent. We started talking about it on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday. Do you see how the colors have changed? On the cross, on the banners, on Pastor Stacy and Pastor Paul. See, their stoles are purple now. So we are in this purple season here, getting ready for, who remembers, what is Lent getting ready for? Easter, yeah. And we talked about it being kind of a serious time. We have all these Sundays to get ready. And you heard Sam sing and Shanae play that beautiful piece that talked about cleansing our hearts. You could see the words in our bulletin. Cleansing our hearts to have them be a really great place for Jesus to be. Cleansing our hearts to get ready to be Jesus' people. And then we heard Pastor Stacy pray, help us live and pray like Jesus. That's what Lent is all about. Lent is about washing our hearts clean and being more like Jesus. So when we're trying to do something, learn more, be some way, we do some studying. We are disciples. We are going to have a discipline for us as kids of First Baptist Church for Lent, a Lenten discipline. Can you say that? Lenten discipline. Yes, discipline not like go to your bedroom, not that kind of discipline, but the discipline of being a student, learning, being a disciple. And so we're going to have a practice, a Lenten practice, of reading a Bible story a day, or maybe two a day. You get to choose, but we're going to encourage you to have a Bible, read your Bible, read a story. They're all different kinds of Bibles. You see ones from Sunday school. And then, as you read your Bible stories, you can make a chain. And you will see all the stories that you've read, and you can bring them to church, and then look. We'll take that chain, and we'll add it to this chain. And then the next Sunday, you'll come and bring all the other stories you read, and we'll watch our story chain grow, our Lenten discipline of getting our hearts, cleaning our hearts, washing our hearts, to live and pray like Jesus. So, I have a little envelope for you, and it has magnets on the back, so you can stick that up on your refrigerator, if it's magnetic, and then you'll put that up there, and you'll have all these little chains in there. You can write what story you read, and then make your chain, and bring it on Sunday. If you forget your chain, no problem. I have extra pieces of paper here to make your chain, or you can bring it the next Sunday, okay? But that'll be our discipline, our practice together during the season of Lent. Will you pray with me? Will you all point to the first Sunday of Lent? Let's do that for our body prayer. Can you point to it? I'll pray. Dear God, we thank you for this first Sunday of Lent, this time, a serious time of thinking carefully about what it means to follow you. Cleanse, wash our hearts so that we would pray and live like Jesus. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Living Spirit of God, speak now to us a living word, and may our hearing and responding become the living of our lives in deeper faithfulness. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please finish the following sentence with one word. Life is. Life is. What? Life is good. Life is a gift. Life is beautiful. Those are good words, pleasant words for what life is, all positive and all true. And some tougher words could also be used to complete the sentence. Life is struggle. Life is conflict. Life is hard. And all of us know, to varying degrees, that all of that is true. It is amazing, though, how fast the accent can shift from the pleasant to the difficult. The experiences of life, as wonderfully good or as difficult struggle, either one of these can step forward at any time while all the others remain. Life is good. Life is struggle. Life is beautiful. Life is hard. Altogether. That shifting, the shifting accent is vividly present in the first few sentences of Mark's gospel. Jesus begins here with baptism, that beautiful river, John, his friend, the descending dove, the voice of God, "You are my beloved, my son, my delight." But without skipping a beat comes this, and immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness for 40 days, tested by Satan. You feel the harshness of that? It's especially in the verb, the Spirit drove him out. Didn't lead him, didn't invite him or call him, it drove him. The man steps out of the river, drenched in fresh blessing, and God drives him immediately, pushes him like a gale wind, tumbling end over end, shocked and bewildered, into the desert to face the demonic. And while the story of Jesus is unique and all his own, the truth is that also always Jesus stands for what is rightly a human life. And so this is our story too. We live it in smaller scale. But this is our story. The mind that we have been given is not meant to be always peaceful, but is also meant to grapple with painful events and very difficult questions. We are not here for smooth sailing. We are here to challenge and to be challenged. Part of the greatness God wants from us is born of wrestling with great problems in our world and in ourselves. And as with Jesus, that will not always be of our own choosing, but because the Spirit drives us there. So he finds himself deep into that wilderness and will be out there for 40 days. There's really no need to think too literally about that number 40, because in the Bible what 40 really means is a very long time. It means all the time that is needed. Of more interest to me is the real meaning of that word we translate wilderness. Because in the original Greek language of the text, the word literally means empty place. Place of emptiness. Think of it. The Spirit drove him into emptiness. It's desolate out there. Rocks, sand, mostly barren. Out there he has no external resources, no nourishment, nobody anywhere who can help him in any way at all. He's reduced to absolute vulnerability. Doesn't have a cell phone. Doesn't have a book. Just him out there in the emptiness. Him and his bodily needs and his memories, his imaginings and concerns and prayers and the voices in his head, one of which belongs to Satan. That's not the only voice. Surely, still echoing in his mind is that voice that said, "Beloved, I take delight in you." And surely also in his mind are voices, good ones, from the communities of which he had been part. And the voices of the scriptures that, thank God, he had by heart. But all mingled in with these are other voices, voices now of anxiety, falsehood, panic, self-regard, self-pity, the achievement of worthy outcomes by unworthy ways. These are all satanic suggestions. And isn't it striking how such voices as these mix in with all the other voices? How some of our worst inclinations disguise themselves as good inclinations. And so Jesus was tested in an empty place for a really long time, and he was by himself. Something else. Mark's gospel adds, he was with the wild beasts. Oh my. So the empty place is not all that empty after all. And he is not as all by himself as we might have thought. Wild animals are lurking out there. The Judean wilderness in various biblical times was known to have lions, antelope, wolves, bears, cobras, desert vipers, hyenas, jackals, desert foxes, wild boars. Are the wild animals mentioned to underline for us how dangerous his situation is, how vulnerable, terribly vulnerable, defenseless he is? Should we imagine him out there at night staring into the darkness, making out pairs of yellow eyes, waiting, drawing closer? It's hard to know for certain why Mark feels a need to mention that Jesus was with the wild beasts, but I'm glad he did. Especially because that expression, he was with them, throughout Scripture is used for a positive presence, a presence in solidarity with, in strength with, as in the Lord is with us, as in I will not be afraid, for you are with me, as in Jesus being called by name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He was with the wild beasts, and it sounds to me like he is with them companionably. And didn't the old prophets dream that when the kingdom of God finally comes, the lion and the bear will lie down with the ox and the lamb, and a child will play at the den of the poisonous snake? And hadn't God in the beginning, says the story, brought all the animals to Adam, who gave them their names in peace, then lost his communion with them when he sinned and was expelled from the garden? Is Jesus a new Adam out here in the wilderness, calling all of God's creatures to himself, blessing their wildness, bringing them to harmony, leading the way to reconcile all of us to all creation, communion with God, and communion with all God's creatures? What a dream. Or maybe this also, that the snarling and howling and snuffling of the wild beasts was at first intermingled with the devil's voice in his ears. But Jesus befriends these hungry, anxious, grasping, wild voices, accepts them for what they are, and brings them to quietness and harmony for him and for us all. I don't know how best to read this text, but I do know that within each of us is a kind of wilderness, a place of aloneness, of vulnerability that we might be afraid of and run from and do all we can to avoid because we do not want to face what might meet us there in the emptiness. We don't want to face our demons, the coming to terms with our darkest fears and neediness and pridefulness, the anger that is in us and the heartbreak we bear, and the disease of the world around us in which we have a part, and the possibilities in us, the great possibilities from which we shrink because we feel too small. All the things that we cling to that we should have let go long ago. All the possibility of taking up what is ours rightly to take up now and to do faithfully now. Who wants to face all that? But even here, Christ says, especially here, Christ says, follow me into all of this. I know the wilderness. Come with me there. And if we do, and if we listen, he will help us to refuse what we must refuse. And help us with all our hearts to say yes to what is ours, to embrace, to who is ours, to embrace. And if we know ourselves, by the way, to be a kind of habitat of wild beasts within us, howling wolf, frightened mouse, sneaky fox, grumpy bear, pig, weasel, sloth, playful otter, fierce tiger, soaring eagle. Well, we just present to Christ the whole menagerie. And he calls them to himself and blesses them and makes them into harmony and blesses that sweet wildness in us that is at peace with what the God of all creation desires of us and of the world. The wilderness in you, the wilderness in me, which is to say, going into the silence, the aloneness, the letting go, the new praying and the long listening and the consideration of the world as it is, the consideration of ourselves as we are and the staying there with it until we get new light. This is not an easy place to go. Sins are dealt with there and feelings faced and hard decisions made. It is scary. But healing happens there. And clarified purpose begins to happen there. And Christ, in new ways, meets us there. And so Barbara Brown Taylor was right when she said that the emptiness, the hollowness we fear in ourselves is not a sign of something wrong, but is in fact the Holy of Holies within us. Which is what Jesus found in his wilderness. The story says that angels ministered to him there. That place of emptiness turns out really to be quite crowded. Wild beasts all over the place and angels ministering. What looks to be an empty place, dear friends, is often not empty at all, but filled, and filled not only with testing and struggle, but filled in surprising ways with provision for us. Strength enough for us. Resources enough for us. Light enough. And forever more than enough. Love. Love for us and for the world. That love invites us into the empty places to which we are called, armed with the remembrance of the original voice, "You are my beloved child. In you I do take delight. Now go." Go into your wilderness unafraid, remembering who you are by the grace of God, and ministering angels will meet you there, and so will Christ, who knows his way through all the way to the garden in the morning of Easter, resurrection, new life for us all. With deepening trust and rising faith and renewed commitment to the cause of God in Christ in this needy world, we make now our offerings as an act of our gratefulness and of our hope. God of every highest freedom, God of every deepest, truest joy, bring us more and more to yourself. Bring us to your world in ministry and love. Keep us faithful to your Son, the Beloved, our Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. To repeat what was said last week at this moment in worship. It has been called to our attention that this really is flu season. And we are a people who love to shake hands and to hug each other. And if that's how you want to pass the peace, by all means do so, if the person you're approaching feels the same. If not, gestures are also most welcome. Like this. 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 Most important is the word and the truth. The peace of Christ be with you.